The Epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away, whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongue shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 18. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished, which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, there was a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus standing commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Please be seated. Be converted to me with your whole heart in fasting and weeping. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the last Sunday that is given to us to prepare for the season of Lent. As I mentioned, this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So therefore, we're looking for the graces to try to help us to be well-disposed in order to spend this season well and for it to be grace-filled for us. And so one of the means of that, to try to gain that for us, those graces for us, is the idea of fasting. But then not only just the whole idea of to fast itself, but that we understand that our fasting is done in order to be pleasing to God, that we need to try to render it pleasing to God. So therefore, it's not enough for us just to fast exteriorly, abstaining from maybe eating some prohibited foods or things that we try to give up. But if we do not also fast interiorly, and if we do not accompany the fast of the body with that of the spirit, well, then again, it won't be pleasing to God. Because we have to try to stay away from the whole idea of, you know, doing things, in a sense, either for show or to prove we can do something. There are purposes behind it. Purposes to try to help us to gain the graces from God to open up, in a sense, these graces to flow to our soul. And so that's where then there has to be that balance between the two. Not only fasting exteriorly, yes, but there also must be interiorly too. And so our Lord, when he taught on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught about kind of the fruit that comes from practicing fasting properly. And he gave 4 points from that for us to try to look and to examine and try to see, will this be beneficial to our soul? So the first, he says, fasting fortifies the spirit. Obviously, it helps us, strengthens us. Because otherwise, there's a tendency, yes, that's for all of us, we can give in to what we want. And so by fasting, yes, it can help to fortify our spirit. A second thing, that it also mortifies the flesh and its sensuality. So that mortification that is necessary, especially in our world today, certainly that is what is promoted, that is something that we have to try to fight. And so that mortification of the senses is important for us. Mortifying oneself from the world around us. And also through our fasting, it can help to raise the spirit to Almighty God. And that's something that we talked about in Advent, but also in Lent, that you can see that there are going to be obstacles to the graces of God. I mean, certainly one is mortal sin. But I think it's also important for us to see that when we do try to mortify oneself, to do penances, fasting, sacrifices, it is a means to try to eliminate then these obstacles to our soul. The obstacles that will keep away the graces of God from our soul. And so therefore, when we are able to fast, it'll help to recollect us to think of the things of God. Because again, we're doing these things for a purpose. To try to help the soul. To help the soul to receive the graces of God, but then also then to make us think of and have the Spirit of God in our soul. And then finally, it fights concupiscence and gives power to conquer and deaden the passions. So again, it kind of ties in with the second one, that mortifies the flesh. But we can say these are kind of the fruits that come to us from when we practice fasting well. When we see the purpose behind it and why we have to fast. You know, why does the church ask that from us? As I say, it is to help us to think of the things of God, but then to also to mortify oneself. Not so we just give in to whatever we want. And so it's a discipline. It's something that is important for us to think about. And so through this, it disposes us. So if we follow these points that our Lord gives to us, it helps to dispose the heart to seek to please only God with a great purity of heart. As I said, it gives us that idea and the sense of the purity of intention, of why we are taking on these penances. Why are we doing these sacrifices? But also, I mean, you know, it is something that we can add on to. It's not necessary that it's only about taking away. Lent can be a time period for us that we can think about other things that we can try to do. You know, whether trying to attend an additional Mass during the week or come to benediction. When we have the Stations of the Cross that will start up, which is something that I forgot in the bulletin, so just a reminder. So that'll be at 7 p.m. on Friday. That we'll have then, obviously, the Stations of the Cross. So again and again for us, things that we can add on, things that we can do, obviously, yes, also things that we can try to take away. And so these are things that we must try to examine during this time period as we get ready for Lent. Hopefully through these 3 Sundays that you have given it some thought, you've maybe considered, okay, what do I want to try to do during Lent? If not, okay, well then we have these next few days to try to really examine that. You know, pray at Mass. Pray to be enlightened by God. And you can also talk to a confessor, talk to a priest about that. Try to see what would be best for my soul. Maybe especially after going to confession. Okay, what would be some things that would help take away these opportunities for these sins that I fall into? What can help me with that? And so that's something that is important for us. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, when he was talking about fasting, he said it must be something that is general and entire. So he also stresses the point that it must be something that includes all of our senses. Because again, we see the world around us and we see how many temptations that are there. You know, just in the epistle of St. John, 1 John 2:16, he talks about how many sins enter through the eyes. And so yes, time and time again, we look at in terms of our senses and how easily we can fall into sin. So that's where St. Bernard of Clairvaux encourages us that our fasting must be something that is entire and whole for us. That it would include all of our senses. As I say, not just, okay, I'm just giving up these things to eat. But it's something that includes all of that. And so that's where we fast with our whole heart. So he goes on to say, like with the eyes, he said to keep them lowered, to have a good custody of the eyes. How true that is in our modern world, whether it's billboards, whether it's in the stores, the way people dress, any of these things, the great need for the custody of the eyes. And so when we examine these things of what St. Bernard of Clairvaux says to us, that can be also something that we ourselves can look into. Would this be helpful to my soul, having a greater custody of the eyes? Considering maybe what the sins that we fall into. We fall into sins of things that we see, things that we read, things that we watch. And so, yes, so this can be a great idea for us, keeping our eyes lowered, having a greater custody for them. He talks about the ears depriving them of listening to vain talk. How often a lot of us, we have the curiosity to hear gossip, to hear what people are talking about, what they're saying. You know how easy it is for any of us to fall into that. You know, so therefore depriving ourselves of listening to this idle gossip, these vain thoughts, these vain words that people talk about. And then for ourselves, for the tongue, St. Bernard encourages us not to speak idle words. And again, we think about that in sacred scripture, that we will be accountable for any idle words that we do say. And so how good it would be for us then to maybe to examine in this time period of Lent, okay, well, maybe I'm going to focus on mortifying my senses, keeping a good custody of the eyes, trying to avoid the idle talk of other people, myself not talking about idle words, or gossiping myself. Any of these things we can look at and try to see. I mean, that could be a great Lent for any of us. Because reminding us of the fact of why then the Catholic Church, for the sacrament of extreme unction, why does it purify the senses? Because we easily sin through the senses. So what a great opportunity for us if we focus on, yes, I'm going to focus on my senses. Really trying to mortify them during these 46 days. Because that is something that St. Bernard of Clairvaux, as I say, he encourages us to make sure that the fast that we do is with our whole heart, with in covering our whole being. And that's why he also encourages and says to cut off useless thoughts, vain memories. So he includes also our imagination, our memory, as a part of understanding that the fasting must be over all of us, our whole being, in order for it to make some progress for us. So that's where he says the interior fasting accompanies the exterior fasting. And that is where we can make some progress. Also, another point that we can think about is never to fast through vanity, but through humility. Otherwise, it will not be pleasing to God. One, we just have to look at the epistle of today's Mass of St. Paul. He focuses on the virtue of charity. But he talks about how if you do not have charity, then any of the things that you do amount to nothing. And so that's a focal point for us that we have to try to see. And obviously the charity will stem from our love of God. Of the things that we're trying to do during this time period, we're doing it for the love of God. And so otherwise, we can easily fall through vanity through that. And he mentions of how easily we can, we're doing it because of our self-will, to fast as we want and what pleases us, and that is how then we fast. So that's where he tries to get us away from that idea. But it must be done out of humility, out of love for God. Otherwise, it's very easy to fall into vanity. And then giving us the idea of kind of like those that would fast in order to be esteemed by others around them, to try to appear better than they are. I mean, obviously, there is the example we can give to other people of the fast and abstinence that we can have, abstaining from meat, obviously, on Fridays. But then during the time period of Lent, fasting, that we do try to be more penitential during this time period. And so it's good for us, yes, to try to set an example for other people around us, but trying to avoid that we're doing it just to be esteemed by them. And that's where you go back to the whole idea of where our Lord talks about, you know, when you do fast, don't make it look like it. Don't come disheveled, melancholic, you know. I mean, it's something for us that we have to try to avoid that too. That we have to do it with a cheerful heart, that we understand the reason, the purpose of why we are fasting, why we are doing these things. So it's not meant for everyone else to esteem us because of what we're giving up or how much we're giving up or what we're doing. Because we do it specifically for God. And for the good of our soul, obviously. And then finally, we can say to look to God and do everything to please Him. Cassian had said in his spiritual conferences, "What will it profit you to do what you are doing for the eyes of creatures? Nothing but vanity and complacency, which are good for hell alone. But if you do to please God alone, you labor for eternity." So again, backing up the point that we have in understanding that. That we must try to do our penances, our sacrifices, the things we offer for the love of God, not for the eyes of creatures. So as I say, maybe trying to take from this the understanding of why we fast, what is the purpose behind it, of how good that it is for our soul at this time period, not to be discouraged from, okay, it's 46 days, how am I going to make it through this? But to try to see that we have these 46 days in order to try to help us to labor for eternity. But again, if we have the understanding, the purpose behind it, it should make it somewhat easier. And obviously there will still be some difficulties, but you know, that is where then we can gain from that. Yes, it may be a little bit difficult for us, a bit of a struggle, but we offer that to God. And we ask for the graces to help us with that. And so let us take advantage of this time period. As I say, these three Sundays were given to us as a preparation to help us to put us in the mindset of Lent. But now as we enter into that on Ash Wednesday, we have these 46 days to try to make progress in the spiritual life. That we do try to look and to see how we can root out, you know, the major fault that we have or the different sins that we fall into, maybe on a more regular basis. What can I do to try to get rid of these things? And that becomes the basis of what we should do during Lent. And as I say, it's not just about maybe getting rid of things or, you know, trying to sacrifice and offer up things. It may be trying to do some extra things. As I say, maybe coming to an extra mass or a benediction during the week. The spiritual benefits that we can gain. Be more regular with our confessions, really trying to take advantage of this time, maybe trying to see about during Lent going every 2 weeks or something. Again, trying to gain the graces from God to help us during this time period. But as I say of us, to understand the true spirit of fasting, that's not just we give up things to eat, but it's something that is entire for us. And as I say, I think with the idea of the senses, I think certainly it probably can be something for all of us to think about, every single one of us, of how we can try to mortify our senses more. So I leave you with a quote of St. Teresa of Avila that she had said in her book, The Way of Perfection. Whosoever begins to concern himself about the needs of his body will soon forget the needs of his soul. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.